it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Now, specific to the last week, just to, you know, throw some love out, we mentioned Senzel's four home runs in the last calendar week here. He had 5 over 5 games. Jacob Young this week hit .455 with a .1023 OPS, 10 for 22 at the plate, which is crazy. C.J. Abrams, 8 for his last 27, .296 at the plate, .945 OPS, which actually, as crazy as that week sounds, good, like, is down from his season totals. Trey Lipscomb, since being recalled, in the last 6 games, 8 for 20, hitting .400 with a .928 OPS, and that was with, like, guessing wrong on a couple first pitches and just missing a couple balls he flew out to center with tonight, which I thought was interesting. Manessis has picked it up some. He's 7 for his last 29, which is a .240 average, which is up like 60 points from where he was coming into the last 10 days. Still no power. He hit a double on Monday to score a run, but OPS of about .600. And then Winker, interestingly enough, was probably their worst offensive player, one of them, this week in terms of OPS. As far as the pitching side, we should probably call some attention to some of the guys here in this Marlins series that threw well. So really nice bounce back outing from Jake Irvin on Monday to finish off the sweep. Irvin goes 6 innings. He ended up in the 6 innings, giving up 2 earned runs, both. He gave up a home run there at the end of his start, 84 pitches for him. 4 hits, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks. But you'll take 6 innings, 2 runs every time. Season ERA of 4.2. He got rocked by the Dodgers. That was the game, Toby, where they had, like, I think it was like 22 hits as a team. And I want to say 10 or 11 of them were off him, I believe. He got shelled. I was at that game. But, you know, that's really the one outing like that this year where Davey, that was the time he decided to just leave him in there and throw a bunch of pitches, weirdly enough. But another good outing. I mean, this has kind of been the norm for him this year. You could, I guess, take away if you want, because it's the Marlins who aren't hitting. Okay, cool. He's basically been this 6-inning quality start guy, you know, 75% of the time for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy because you look at his ERA and it's just above 4, but it feels like he's pitched even better than that, which is crazy to think about.
That Dodgers game just destroyed his earned run average.
And this is a guy that we didn't expect to stick in the rotation last year, and now we're kind of, even going into this year, it's like, yeah, Jake Irvin's kind of like the last guy in, but he's pitched really well. He's been one of their best starters. I mean, you look at the starts so far for him. He went 5 innings to open the year on the against the Reds, 5 innings, 3 runs. Then you have the Phillies game, which was 6 innings, 4 runs. If I recall, it felt like he pitched better than that line. And then in the A's series, 6 innings, 1 run at Dodger Stadium, 6 innings, scoreless. And then the outing, like you mentioned, at Nats Park against the Dodgers, 4 2/3, 12 hits, 6 earned runs. And then he followed it up with a good outing today as we record on Monday night. 6 innings, only the 2 earned runs, gave up that home run to Jazz Chisholm in the 6th inning. But yeah, I mean, it feels like he's pitched better than even his line. So you take what Jake Irvin has given you. He's been really impressive. And I think adding that cutter has been a real difference maker for him, to the point that he's gone from being just, you know, a whatever kind of guy to now being like, oh, okay, maybe they have something here.
Speaking of whatever kind of guy, Patrick Corbin got demolished in his start in Miami. He gave up 6 runs in the first inning, 7 in the first couple innings. He actually had thrown 5 1/3 scoreless, believe it or not, against the Dodgers in his previous outing, but we won't have to spend much time there. I'd rather talk about Mitchell Parker. We saw him again, 4 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts at Miami. So that was, you know, the first time he didn't get through 5. He gave up 1 run. It'll take that every time he pitches. And for the first time, he walked batters. But how about now we're 16 innings in, 14 strikeouts and 2 walks, and a 1.69 for the 24-year-old who had very, very little expectation when he got called up.
Yeah, I mean, he battled in this outing. This is the first one where it felt like he really had to work. He's looked really good in his other outings. But, you know, only going the 4 innings, throwing the 82 pitches, giving up the 6 hits, but scattering them, right? You only give up the 1 run. So that's kind of impressive for him to do that. And obviously it's against a Marlins team like we've talked about a million times, but they're still a major league ball club. He went out there and did his job. And look, sometimes you're not going to have your stuff. You're going to have to go out there and just find a way, and to hold them to 1 run when he clearly wasn't on his A game, even though he only went through the 4 innings. You'll take that, especially from a guy again. You know, it feels like we talked about this with Irvin a lot last year. We're talking about it again this year. Mitchell Parker was supposed to be like, all right, maybe he starts 1 or 2 games. And now it's like, well, I mean, he's pitching well enough that you're not rushing to take him out of the rotation. So again, this is, I think, a sign of the rebuild going in the right direction when these sorts of guys can come up. And we're not saying they're going to be aces of the staff, but when they can be competent, that's so different from what the Nationals have had for so long when they'd call a guy up and it was like, all right, he's here for 1 start. He's going to get shelled and then he'll go back down to the minors. No, I mean, Mitchell Parker is pitching well enough that you're like, all right, if he needs to stick around for a little bit longer, you can. You're not forcing him out of the rotation. So again, I think it's just showing that this organization's going in the right direction, seeing a Jake Irvin build off of last year onto this year, and then seeing Mitchell Parker come up as, you know, he was supposed to be too, Grant, where it was all lined up for Jackson Rutledge to come up and take this spot. And then Rutledge got hit by the comebacker. So Mitchell Parker gets thrown into this spot and he's done really well.
It's funny. Somehow, sometimes those things work themselves out. But Parker, again, give him a thumbs up. Mackenzie Gore threw the getaway day against the Dodgers. Not overpowering by any means, but effective. 1 run, 6 innings, 7 hits. Just 4 strikeouts, which for him is low, but he only walked 2 and, you know, gave up, you know, 7 hits, as I said, a 333 average against. Like, he got out of jams, man. He got out of 4 straight innings with double plays. He had runners on just about all game long. It was the anti Mackenzie Gore outing, right? A lot of the times he's like nasty, shoves, dominates, and then somehow it's a bloop and a blast, or he'll give up 2 runs, or, you know, run will come home after he leaves the game, and the line will look worse normally than like what he actually threw. I thought this was the opposite, where he was kind of in it, in the soup early and often throughout much of his outing, and still only 1 run earned over 6 innings because of the 4 double plays, including a really nice play in the outfield by Jacob Young. And then we got to give some love to Trevor Williams, who I guess we should start calling Cy Williams. I mean, Trevor Williams, 1 run, 5 innings, 5 hits, and he walked 2 and struck out 1. Like, it's not fun to watch Trevor Williams necessarily. He's not going to miss bats. Like, the stuff's not nasty. This is all going to come crashing down presumably very soon. But Trevor Williams has been the most consistent and effective pitcher in the rotation throughout the season, starting all the way back his first start against Pittsburgh, pitched into the 6th inning, 2 runs. Then against San Francisco on the road, 5 innings, 1 run. At Oakland, 5 1/3, 3 runs. That was his worst start of the year. Then against Houston, 6 innings, 1 run. And against the Marlins, 5 innings, 1 run. And he's done it really economically. Like, he's only thrown above 81 pitches once. So he easily could have gone 7 a couple times, 6 a couple more times, maybe 8. But Davey has not asked him to do anything a third time through for good reason. You kind of take whatever he gives you and run with it. But I just point out, you know, the few pitches, because it is, I think, at least worth noting that it's not like he's throwing 95 pitches to get 5 or 6 innings worth of outs. He's generally throwing like 76 to 80 pitches and doing it.
Yeah, and I think it just shows you part of the reason why this team has a respectable record at 500 now is because, for the most part, aside from Patrick Corbin, the starting pitching has been fairly solid. Like, Josiah Gray struggled. He's on the injured list now, but Josiah Gray kind of struggled, but Williams has been solid. Parker's been solid. Irvin's been solid. Gore's been pretty good. Corbin's kind of been Corbin, right? I mean, what we've seen the last couple of years. So hopefully he can get things figured out. But just real quick, going back to Mackenzie Gore, I thought this was interesting. Kevin Franzen brought it up on the broadcast, I believe, when he was pitching against the Dodgers. If you look at Mackenzie Gore by inning, his first innings in five games so far, he hasn't allowed a run. In the third inning, he hasn't allowed a run. In the fourth inning, he hasn't allowed a run. In the fifth inning, he's only allowed one. In the sixth inning, he's allowed, I believe, two or something of that sort. Second inning, he's allowed seven. I don't know what it is about that second inning for Mackenzie Gore, but he struggles so badly in the second inning.
That and feels then he locks fluky, back in. Right? I mean, that does that mean, like, could that even mean anything? Is it like the maybe he's a guy where the adrenaline wears off a little bit and you got to get yourself up the next inning? Like, that's weird. It almost seems like it'd be more telling if it was the first or the last inning, right? That's kind of strange.
I don't know if it's something where he's amped up coming out of the bullpen to start the game and he's ready to roll and he's, you know, we've seen him juiced up, right? He's throwing 98 in the first inning and then he has to go sit down and then coming out, he just doesn't have that same juice and then he fires himself back up for the third and kind of locks back in. I don't know what it is, but I think the big thing for Gore is, you know, I think that's just an interesting stat. I don't know that there's a whole lot to take out of it. But, you know, you want to see the guys take steps, right? And sometimes it's just hard to be patient and see, like, we see the potential with Gore and we want him to just be there, right? You're like, I see how good he can be. Can he just be there right now? And it's not always that case with players. So, you know, going from last year to this year, what was the growth we wanted to see? We talked about it before the season. Stop giving up the touchdowns like he talked about on your guys' show, Grant and Danny, last year. Stop giving up the 6 and 7 run innings and letting issues compound. I don't think we've seen that so far this year in 5 starts. You know, when things have gone bad, he's been able to limit the damage. So I think you're seeing growth there. The next step for him is stop throwing 30 pitch innings. Even if you're only giving up one run, you're still throwing 30 and 40 pitches and you're shortening your outings. So I think just for him, seeing those little bits of growth throughout the year, I think is going to be important. And I think early on, we're seeing that step where he's not imploding like he did at times last year. As he continues to get more comfortable with avoiding those big innings, can he get it so that he's more efficient? I don't know if that's pitching to contact a little bit more. I don't know if that's just living in the zone more, finding another put away pitch because, you know, teams foul off so many pitches of his. I don't know exactly what that is for him, but pitch efficiency is something I want to see him work on. But I am glad to see that he's kind of eliminated those huge innings as well.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Make sure you're following Toby on X. He does a good job breaking down the Nats and posting quality baseball content at Toby Altizer, T-O-B-I underscore A-L-T-I-Z-E-R. And I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Let's move on to the minor leagues for a couple of minutes here. Well, you know what? Before we even do that, let's look at the bullpen for a second. This week, I thought Derek Law was very good. 4 appearances, a 1.5 ERA, 1 run, pitched almost 6 innings, and he struck out 10 batters with 1 walk. He was pretty lights out. Jacob Barnes has been called up. He's been good. 3 1/3 innings of scoreless baseball. Kyle Finnegan had 3 appearances, 3 shutout, 3 strikeouts. Dylan Floro's been magnificent all year. 4 innings, 2 hits, 3 Ks, no walks this week. I mean, Dylan Floro, by the way, I don't know if anybody's noticing this, 13 appearances now, a 0.6 ERA, 14 innings, and a 1.07 whip. The 33-year-old, I don't know if there's such a thing as like a crafty righty. Dude's got all-star numbers early on. He's been great.
Yeah, I really like Floro. That's why I really like that signing. It felt like you set yourself up with a 7-8-9 of Floro, Harvey, and Finnegan. And Finnegan's kind of gone back to being the guy that we knew for a majority of last year after he struggled early on in the season. But I think
he always does. He has that horrendous first appearance where he gives up a homer and 4 runs or whatever. And then he like doesn't give up a run for a month, basically. It's back-to-back years of this.
And I think it's interesting. We've seen already through just the 28 games on the schedule that Derek Law is Davey's guy. When it's not the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning and he has to turn to the bullpen, he's going to Derek Law. It seems like Derek Law pitches in every single game, but he's been, for the most part, effective. He's had some bad outings, but when you pitch as much as he has early on this season, you're going to have some ups and downs. But I've been thrilled with what you saw this past week with him as well. So the bullpen, like we talked about, I think it can be a strength. It's largely about health with the bullpen. And so, you know, I think if they can keep these guys healthy, I think you can depend on more than just the one or two guys like it felt like all of last year.
I don't really get it from a stuff standpoint with Floro. Because supposedly, if you look at Savant, I looked this up yesterday, his four-seam fastball and his two-seam fastball are the exact same velocity. Like, his four-seamer is 89.5, and so is his two-seamer. His slider's about 82. His changeup's about 83. But he's down 2 miles an hour from last year. But I just think he keeps teams off balance really well. I don't know. Like, he throws the two-seamer about 42% of the time, the four-seamer 26% of the time, the slider 20% of the time, and then even throws the fourth pitch, the changeup. He's thrown almost 25 of them this year, about 12% of the time. So it's almost like a starter's repertoire in a way, and he keeps you guessing, he keeps you off balance. But he's the kind of guy, and this is not meant to belittle him at all, like, I never understand it. You know, like, I would never sign him or, like, be seeking him. I'm looking for dudes that throw 98 with a wipeout slider. And guys like him are super effective. You know, those Brandon Kinsler, you know, like, pitchers, true definition of pitchability. But it's been cool to watch. He's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys where you don't, like you said, he never overpowers dudes, but he just misses their barrel, right, and keeps the ball on the ground. So he's been impressive. Hopefully he can keep it up. And I think it's just nice to have more than one or two options. And I think it was a savvy move by Mike Rizzo to bring in Floro to help out in the back end of the bullpen this year, because, like you said, he's been very effective for the team so far this year.